I think about that. Well, if you're not, we're going to do it anyway, so.
Do it live.
We'll do it live. As long as something maybe works.
Play us out. What does that mean?
Huh?
To play us out.
I'll play you out. I'm going to play you off scene, and then we'll start the show.
Well, as long as you're willing to admit that now.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to play you off right into the Council Cast and episode 179. Being recorded on August 31st, 2021. The council is now in session, and as with every week, we will make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Random shit?
That was perfect this time. It was perfect because there was absolutely no background and no expertise in what you just did.
It's no expertise whatsoever.
All council cast decisions are final and have no bearing on anything whatsoever. So welcome to this week. We are joined by Blue Circle. Welcome. this week we're going to talk about
circles whose name is Big Red.
The Big Red Blue Circle.
The Big Red Blue Circle.
Well, at least he isn't a rocket that's going to fall over, because that's what happened to Astra Rocket. Who's apparently finding out that it's really, really hard to go to space.
No. So, I've seen movies. It's easy.
Yeah. It's barely an inconvenience.
So this is Astra's first rocket launch since the company went public. And apparently, you can watch this rocket launch, and the rocket doesn't really go up. It kind of just goes sideways, and it kind of like floats across the launch pad.
And I have a clip of it. I have a clip of it. Can I play it?
All right. I'm not sure what I'm watching.
So that's the that's the rocket getting ready to take off.
That looks exactly like what happened.
Ooh.
Good Lord.
Thanks for that.
The thing I like about this is that I think they called it a failure because one of the rockets didn't fire, but I actually think that they've probably come up with a better way to launch rockets.
It's pretty funny. It moonwalks. That's what the dang rocket does.
So, you know, they talk about how there's a problem with rocket launches and where you put them. Like, you can't launch from too far north because then you can't get into certain orbits. So, like, what if instead you just have this rocket and it just like hovers across the ground until it gets to the location you want and then it takes off?
This is a really expensive, really scary kind of hovercraft.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Now. It just floats away from the screen. Now, for those of you who are not rocketeers, once it goes off the screen here, then it goes into outer space.
Yeah.
Yep. Shy rocket.
It's a camera shy rocket.
Camera shy rocket. What? No, I'm not going up here. I'm just going to slide to the left a little.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is the little gantry that's holding it up is at an angle, and I think it got confused. It was like, I want to be at that angle.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I wish I could have been there to watch the faces of the people that are responsible for this, watching the rocket go shifting sideways. No.
Oh. It's pretty great. I think that they said it actually took off. It reached an altitude of 31 miles. So it did go somewhere.
Excuse me. Sorry.
But then they decided to blow it up. So
it did. It went left and then it went up.
Yeah.
Once it was off camera, then it took off.
Yep.
Oh, nerd. I could say thumbs up for that.
Yeah, you know, I think
know why.
I think they've come up with a new feature, and they should probably expand on this.
Has anyone ever tested a new rocket and not had some of these crazy launch pad disasters happen? I mean, this is kind of why they test them.
Yeah, exactly.
31 miles.
31 miles.
Thumbs up for space. I got to go. Sorry, guys.
All right, see ya.
Always good to have the Blue Circle on the show.
Good seeing
Thanks, Blue
you.
Circle.
Whatever. Bye. Well, now it's time for our Elon Musk pitches of the week.
Almost. You know, something that could give you a thumbs up, though, is the MIT-developed prosthetic hand that can make you feel again. You know, one of the problems with a lot of prosthetics is that you can't feel anything. You have no idea how hard you're gripping something, how light you're gripping something. Yeah. And instead, a team of researchers have developed a prosthetic hand that's pneumatically powered. And it apparently can... I'm still not exactly sure how the feeling part comes into it, but it looks like you're wearing a giant glove.
Interesting.
Really, they don't really talk about the... It says it's an inflatable hand.
It says it translates to its wearer the EMG signals that it would send to an injured limb. Wait a minute. Nope, that's how it opens itself, works itself. Apparently, it has a series of pressure sensors that when the wearer touches or squeezes an object, they send an electrical signal to a specific position on their amputated arm, and that's how you will apparently determine that you are picking something up.
So you're going to have to relearn like what those signals mean.
Yeah, pretty much. They said that you can learn it in about 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Average.
That's a pretty decent amount of time.
Yeah, I would say.
So the interesting thing, though, is with the pneumatics, I do like this idea. Like, most prosthetic hands that move and stuff like that, they're almost like robotic hands, and they just, like, have so much strength in them, they crush whatever they pick up. And so this, with using pneumatics, it looks like it's much more delicate of an operation, so. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look too outrageous, so thumbs up for that. Yep. And apparently it's only going to cost like $500. Or at least parts only cost $500.
Wow. I'd
be curious to see what it really costs, but yeah, that was kind of interesting that it said 500.
It just makes me think of that you ever watch Arrested Development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Buster, he gets a hand and it
yes.
He gets a robotic hand and he just starts destroying everything. Like literally anything he touches just crumbles in front of him. And I'm like, "Oh, that's funny, except for the fact that it's also really how robotic hands work right now." So, for anyone who is trying to, you know, who actually needs one? It's not, the results aren't great, but this looks really, really promising.
Yeah, it does.
And if this is like their first to market iteration, I don't know. Just think about how much farther they can make it with the next iteration in 5 years from now. Where will we be if this technology really catches on? So that's really cool.
Yeah. Good job for them. I think that's awesome. Especially low cost. So,
yep.
Even better. Even better because, you know, people might need this more often when their Samsung Galaxy phones keep blowing up, which apparently happened.
Still blowing up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Apparently they are. A Samsung Galaxy A21 caught fire on an Alaskan Airlines flight, and they had to evacuate the plane after it burst into flame.
I mean, first of all, Apple's got to be loving these articles, but I got to wonder how much longer before they are not allowed to have anything but an Apple phone on a plane. I mean,
well, you
these
know,
things keep catching on fire.
Well, you remember, you know, they had the Galaxy Note 7, and it was like got to the point where airlines were actually banning those phones from flights. Like, if you owned one, you just couldn't bring it on the plane.
Yeah.
So I can't believe that Samsung's having more issues with batteries after going through that. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I can't either. I did like the Alaskan Airlines evacuated the plane after the phone burst into flames. I don't know. Just kind of funny how it said that. Of course they evacuated the plane after the phone burst into flames.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You never know.
You never know.
I don't know. I think thumbs down. Like, I don't know, man. I'm glad nobody was hurt. I'm glad nobody was hurt.
Yeah,
maybe the person who was holding the the fire phone had some burns. I didn't hear. But everyone else made it off the plane, so.
Doesn't say, so I'm assuming they probably like threw it on the floor or something like that. But
did it catch on fire in their pocket?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Oh, it says two people were treated at a local hospital, so I'm guessing you're right. They probably had some burns on their hands.
Well, or smoke. I mean, you might have to be treated for that because it was pretty smoky in the cabin, it said. So.
True. Yeah, you know, I give it a thumbs down.
What's going on with their battery? Yeah, thumbs down. What's going on with their batteries? Like, haven't they figured that out?
Like I said, I would have thought they would have learned after the last one that, you know, they should do a little bit better quality control there or something, but whatever. Batteries are hard to make, guys. Maybe we just need to come up with a new battery that isn't even able to catch on fire.
That would like be a great. Potato.
Yeah, like a potato battery. Actually, potatoes can catch on fire, so put it in the microwave. It will catch on fire.
but not if you stick it in a glass of water.
Not if you stick it in your pocket. not that I've had experienced before, so, you know, and I have put a lot of potatoes in my pocket, so.
Is that like pocket tots?
Yes, they're pocket tots.
Hey, give me some of your tots. No, I said get your own.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, thumbs down for Samsung and more battery issues. You know, figure that shit out, man.
Yep, agreed.
But, you know, I don't know if I would jump over to Apple quite right away anyway, because apparently Apple has been scanning your iCloud mail since 2019, and they never told you. So, this comes in the wake of Apple's new plan to start scanning everybody's iPhones for scanning their pictures for signs of child abuse material. And they've apparently been saying, you know, they've been doing this already. It's totally okay. We're already doing this in your iCloud mail. So it's okay that we're scanning what's on your phone. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
So yeah, you have an Apple, so tell me, what do you think?
Yeah, I figure literally everyone on the internet's looking at whatever I'm looking at. So I've just made peace with it. Do I like it? No. Am I going to have to live with it? Probably. If I want to keep using technology, it's either the phone catches fire in my hand.
Yeah.
Or people are looking at what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I got to figure that you're being heard, listened to, eavesdropped on, recorded every time you do anything with the phone. And are they listening to us? Are they recording what we're saying? Of course, everyone's had it happen where you're talking in the car about something, and then as you're walking into the store, your phone app, you know, the phone, the first advertisement that comes up is an ad for the thing you were talking about in the car. So, you know,
yeah.
Or you get an email and your Gmail, and it's an ad so that you can go, you know, spend the money on that particular thing. So I know they're all listening. Yeah. So maybe if they catch some people that are doing some pretty ugly things, but still, that it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's tough because it's like, you know, where do you stop, right? So
yeah, where
do you stop? And how likely is it that you're going to end up? I've read a lot about the photo scanning on your phone, and it's, you know, how likely is it that you're going to run into cases where you pop false positives? Like, what happens then?
Well, I've read most of 1984, and
it doesn't end well.
Well, I didn't get that far. The beginning half just seems boring. So, you know.
Well, it was.
So, did you skip to the end? Was it?
I mean, everyone at the beginning seemed bored. So I was like, they're going to rallies. They're cheering for whatever's on screen. Basically, it seemed like a Buffalo Wild Wings, a little bit.
What was the high-tech company on Parks and Rec? What were they called? They were making fun of Google.
Grizzle.
And when they're at the trial and Ben says you shouldn't have done this, and they go, yeah, so we looked at everyone's texts and emails and all their stuff, and we realized that, yeah, you guys really don't like it when we do that. We didn't think we were doing anything wrong. So we read all your stuff and we learned that you don't like it. Yeah, it's pretty slippery slope. I'm not sure. I'm going to say thumbs down.
Yeah, I'm going to say thumbs down. I'm also going to say this is exactly why I don't use, why I don't check my email anymore. So, because I have a phone that's doing it for me.
You know, thumbs up, I guess, because if they find something interesting, they'll let you know.
I hope. Yeah. Well, I hope not.
So, thumbs up for boy. Never having to read your email again.
Thumbs up.
You know, something that doesn't need thumbs though is becoming a real life Spider-Man. So if you guys remember, a few weeks ago we actually talked about the same guy. He made a Batman's. Kind of like tether thing that he could shoot out and grappling hook. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
So now the same guy has come up with a way to basically replicate Spider-Man's capabilities and be able to shoot out webs from his hands that he can swing from.
Yeah.
I have always imagined this is exactly what Spider-Man really looked like. And the reason he was able to catch bad guys was because they were looking at him going, What is he doing? What's going? Why is he doing that?
You know, I almost didn't do this one because it's so extremely similar to the Batman one. But I did watch the video, and to be honest, the what he did to develop this thing was pretty interesting. Although I think the end result is entirely lame.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so it's a grappling hook idea again, isn't it?
It is basically the same thing, yeah. Except the way that he gets the little tubes to launch is he made these little compressed propane launchers that basically fire off the string. So instead of having like this big old gadget that he has head strapped to his arm for the bat grappling hook.
Yeah,
he just has like these little handles, and it like shoots out. It shoots out a little the string, so he doesn't have to carry a gigantic backpack. Yeah, so skip ahead in that video to like about halfway, I think. He cuts it open in half. Right there. Go back. Right there. Yep. So it's just like a little tube here, and he has a pressure chamber that he basically ignites, and then it shoots out the string out the other end, and then it is its own little handle, so he holds on to that so you could drop it and grab another one if you wanted to.
So it's not infinite.
No. It's only as many as you can carry.
But as
you're swinging trying to reload,
depending on which comic book version of Spider-Man you're observing, it's either he has webs in his wrists or he's built these contraptions, and he does run out of the string in the where he builds the contraptions. So
I guess it's true.
Anyway, this is actually probably the closest thing next. I mean, the bat grappling hook is pretty close too. So
I'm going to say that's a thumbs up.
You know what? Why not? Feeling generous. Thumbs up. Guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna go
thumbs up. I'm just gonna say that's a thumbs up.
You know, I do like what he did. I like the little bit of engineering he did to put it together, but you know, this looks super lame, so thumbs down. You don't want to catch me doing that.
It does look super lame, I agree.
You know, something that is also super lame fashion wise is the Keystone Light wearable. Have you ever wished you could carry Keystone Light in its own refrigerator on your stomach?
Yes.
Yes. Duh.
They call it the Smooth Operator Vest, which apparently has enough space to hold six beers and a couple cold packs. so you can drink beer. Keystone.
This solves all of our problems. Want. We can get this set up next to our Kentucky Fried Chicken console.
This is amazing.
My favorite part of it is that they designed this apparently for fishing enthusiasts because there's a built-in tackle box.
Yeah, there is.
like you want this thing strapped to your chest while you're fishing. That's just hilarious. Hey,
you know, this is market research at its finest. When the marketing team knows that most of the people who are fly fishing, because they have him in a river, it's not just, he's not boat fishing, he's fly fishing.
No, really, he's not, because he's got his hands in his pockets. So,
well, he's about ready to start fly fishing.
He's just standing in the river.
Yeah. Drinking.
Which, let's be honest, if you're going to wear this, you're not fishing.
All right. I could definitely give this thumbs up. That's awesome.
I mean, I like all the little attachments for it. It's like, it's got headlights. It's got a solar panel to recharge your gadgets. It's got a Bluetooth speaker. I mean, they tried to cram like as much shit as possible into this. So
what it's missing is a GPS tracker, because this guy is definitely not coming
home. Floating down river.
Floating down the river.
Yeah, actually, that is a good point. I'm surprised that it doesn't have its own built-in flotation device for when you just pass out from drinking all the beer.
Yeah, if you fall into the water, it's like those fall mats. Remember when we talked about those?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it can detect when you're falling, then it pushes out a giant
airbag
essentially. Yeah. They need to do that with this, but as soon as it gets wet, it deploys a flotation device, just like the vests on airplanes.
There you go. Yeah.
They have the technology.
Absolutely. Oh my god.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I give this a thumbs up. Good job for you, Mr. Keystone. Keystone Light. You're so smooth.
And what's nice about it is they made it fit standard beer can sizes, so you could really put whatever beer in there you want.
Yeah, you could put anything in there. Yeah,
you definitely could.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we're going to move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week. Who's got a pitch for Mr. Musky, baby?
Well, I had one, but I'm going to go with this one that just kind of popped into my head, which is that to go along with this Keystone thing, I think that Musk should come up with a beer can that stays cold.
Ooh.
And then you don't have the extra weight of those ice packs. You can then put more beer in the thing, and they'll stay cold the whole time.
You know, I like that idea.
Can that stays cold.
I give it a thumbs up. I'd buy that. I think he could market that. You know, maybe my pitch for him would be, if you want to really make fishing gear, beer drinking fishing gear, he should really make an extendable fishing rod that's made from beer cans. And as you are fishing and you're thirsty, you just knock one off the end, drink it, throw it back in the river. And then when you're all out of beer, you can't fish anymore, so you have to go home.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a beer tower. I'm not sure what I'm solving,
but
a beer tower fishing rod. Like, you can only catch like small crappies, right?
No, you're going to catch
carrying
big
basically. Well, if you're going to basically be carrying a refrigerator on your chest out there, you're going to need to save as much space as possible. I mean, you don't need to be lugging gear as well. You need it to all be
truth.
Actually, you know, that's a good point. With the fishing rod, expandable fishing rod beer can thing, it comes with a chest pack that you can strap onto you that you can put your fish in when you're done fishing.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. Mind blown.
Okay. I like this. I want to pitch an idea off of both of your ideas. I want those cold cans, so they keep your drink cold, right?
Yeah.
But when you're done drinking, they stay cold. They're just always cold. Yep. Okay. And so I want him to make a little device that you can put your cold empties into, and it compacts them, and then you can keep your fish fresh by putting them right on the ice cans.
Ice cans.
And on top of it, I want there to be a grill so that you can cook the fish that's being frozen inside.
Okay, so a beer can that stays cold after you finished it, so you can crush it down into ice cubes.
Yes, ice cans, yeah.
Ice cans. Sorry. Yep, ice cans. Yeah. That will keep your fish cold.
Yeah.
But also has a built... I missed where the grill comes in.
It's just on top. It's like a cooler can crusher with a grill top.
Includes a cooler with a grill top on it. Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, you know, I like the grill top idea. Thumbs up on that.
Yes. I knew. I just cooler had to, like, plus push a grill. A little bit farther.
I like it.
A cooler plus a grill.
Yep. Then you can be out there eating, drinking, fishing. You never have to leave.
Never.
Nope. Great.
Sweet. I'm sure somebody would like that. With that, I'm going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. We thank everybody for listening, and you know, if you want to come up and prototype one of the Musk pitches, certainly send it to us. We'll certainly try it out.
Oh yeah, we will, right on the episode.
Yeah, yep. we'll do it live. But we do record this live on Tuesday nights. If you liked what you saw and want to check out all of our past episodes, you can go to councilcast.org or search for us on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. And if you have a topic you would like the council's decision on, you can email us at idontcare@councilcast.org or connect with us on Twitter at @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
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 Goodbye.